This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A week and a day until Election Day, but more than 41 million Americans have voted early, including President Biden in Wilmington, Delaware today. He was asked about the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden on Sunday.
It's simply embarrassing. It's beneath any president, but that's what we're getting used to.
Trump's campaign seeking to distance itself from the jokes told by a little-known comic before Trump took the stage. One line that Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage. An investigation today of fires in two early ballot boxes in Portland and nearby Vancouver, Washington State, an incendiary device found inside. Philadelphia's district attorney is suing Elon Musk and his political action committee over his controversial $1 million giveaway for registered voters. McDonald's Quarter Pounders are being brought back to the menu in most locations where they were taken off over E. coli fears linked to onions. World Series Game 3 in New York tonight. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. As more Wisconsin students continue to struggle with food insecurity, State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has proposed increasing access to meals at school by providing all Wisconsin students access to nutritious breakfast and lunch at no cost to families. Underley is calling for universal free meals as part of her 2025-27 biennial budget. Dr. Underley's universal free meals proposal, totaling nearly $294 million, expands access to nutritious school meals to all Wisconsin students. The 2023 Youth Risk Behavior Survey shows one in four Wisconsin high school students reported hunger due to a lack of food in their home. Under the proposal, the DPI would create a new supplemental nutrition aid program, offsetting costs to students and families for meals received while at school, both breakfast and lunch. In addition to the universal free meals proposal, Dr. Underley's request will fund the school breakfast program at a reimbursement rate of 15 cents per meal and expand participation to include independent charter schools, the state's residential schools, and residential child care centers, which would amount to $6.1 million over the biennium. Strengthen local food supply chains by creating a new program, encouraging school districts to buy directly from local farmers and producers, and incorporate fresh, high-quality, locally grown foods into school meal and snack programs at a cost of $10 million over the biennium. Fully fund the school day milk program so more Wisconsin students have access to milk while at school, a cost of $458,900 over the biennium, and create a new grant program to allow schools to purchase milk coolers or equipment to convert to bulk milk dispensers at a cost of $150,000 over the biennium. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Another walk-off win for Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers kicked a field goal as time expired to beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville 30-27. Backup quarterback Malik Willis played most of the second half. After Jordan Love left with a groin injury, Matt LaFleur asked if he knew how severe was Love's injury.
I do not. No idea. But obviously, high level of concern anytime a guy is in there, and he did it early in that first drive, and I think everybody could see him struggling.
Up next, the Packers host the Lions, who beat the Titans 52-14 in Detroit. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers turned their attention to playing the Iowa Hawkeyes Saturday night. Wisconsin now 5-3 after losing to undefeated Penn State 28-13. NBA, the Bucks in Boston tonight after losing to the Brooklyn Nets 115-102. Giannis says they simply need to play better.
We got to keep coming together as a team, keep on taking care of the ball, keep on being aggressive, find ways to play faster. I think we are too stagnant.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin with Trigvi Olsen and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. News from the center. WRCE. Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of The Maggie Dawn Show and The Patriotic Millionaires.
Welcome back to another week of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Today we're joined by another member of The Patriotic Millionaires, Dr. Karen Stewart. She's a retired business professor, the former owner and operator of residential care facilities for the elderly, and a 40-year veteran of the financial planning business. She's here today to talk about her time with the PMs and her experience with the federal tax code. Welcome, Karen. It's a real privilege to have you.
Thank you, Maggie. It's nice to be here. It's quite a topic. Let's see what we can cover, right?
Yes, it is quite a topic. That's why we devote every day in these 30 minutes to these issues, because there's so much to get through. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? How did you make enough money to join the Patriotic Millionaires?
Well, there are three little letters, OPM, other people's money. No, I didn't steal it. No, yet, but I did borrow it. I have excellent credit, always have had. It's very important. And I lived frugally and saved enough, to get into a little piece of property. And when that one grew in value, sold that, bought another piece of property, sold that, bought another piece of property. And it appreciated so much that my husband and I said, let's borrow money on this one, buy the second one. So they both are rising in value. And guess what? The second one was paying itself off because the tenants paid me us. I managed the money, paid us the rent, and we paid the mortgage, which was to our benefit because our mortgage dropped. So our mortgage was dropping and the property was appreciating. Very good deal. And that's called leverage. And started really small. Back in 1971, I know I'm somebody's grandmother here, but by the time my husband and I sold out, we had 225 apartments in the Portland, Oregon area, having bought lots of stuff in between. And as those things we bought in between appreciated in the real estate industry, you can take the profit and roll it into the next property. You don't have to pay taxes on any profitable sale like you do with stocks. So made sense to me.
We're going to drill into that, but I just one little thing popped into my mind, Ms. Karen, as you were speaking. And that is, as you referenced back to when you started in your real estate investments, that it was in the 70s. I have a little saying for you, Ms. Karen, and it's experience without wisdom is just wasted time. So I very much respect your experience and wisdom. Tell everybody how we can benefit from that. I think you just got to the core of it. How does real estate work as a tax avoidance strategy?
Well, it actually doesn't, we didn't get in it specifically for that reason, but boy, did it pay off. So let's just say buy a piece of property for $100,000, and you can determine that the properties that you purchased had $30,000 was for the dirt $70,000 was for the property, and that $70,000 is for the building, for the plumbing, for the electrical, all that sort of thing. Those things were physically built by humans and will depreciate through time, and they will wear out. And so in order to compensate the owners, the tax law says you can take a percentage of that every single year. You don't have to pay it, by the way. It doesn't come out of your pocket. But since it's deteriorating, you get to write it off. In other words, it lowers your tax on the income. So what's odd about it is over our experience, it appreciated, even though the property was wasting away, if you want to say. And so that was a real good deal, because toward the end of our time with these apartments, we wrote off $300,000 a year and didn't have to, and it was completely deductible. So we paid no income tax because we didn't have $300,000 worth of taxable income. So we paid no tax. Aha, but there's a little catch. When you sell, we don't own anymore. We decided to pay, our partners were you, the taxpayers. You taxpayers allowed us to use your money for decades. And finally I said, no more, messes. It's really quite a process to have that many people in your apartments. Excuse me. So we paid over $1 million in taxes, gratefully, gladly, because you folks had helped us with this endeavor, and we kept the balance, which was plenty enough for us to retire in 2014.
So two things here of interest to me, and no pun intended, and that is...
the other interest.
Yes, the other kind of interest. That is the combination of two things. And I know about depreciation. I did a lot of tax law back in my old days as a lawyer. And what I think a lot of regular folks don't understand is when they think about real estate, they think real estate in general, there are extraordinary times and cycles, certainly. But in general, real estate will be worth more next year than it was this year, all else being equal, absent some big shocks or contractions. Sure. And certainly over a long term, real estate in 20 years, the same plot is more likely than not going to be worth more than it is today. And yet, from an income tax perspective, there is this legal fiction, and I'm going to say that as a lawyer, it is a legal fiction. Sure. That that the actual building, that is depreciating, and yet this depreciation value each year, this legal made up depreciation with some arbitrary rate, is used to reduce income tax, while, as most of us understand intuitively, especially over the long run, the value of the real estate is going up. So you're able to reduce your year over year income while the overall value of the real estate is increasing. You can always borrow against that value. And if you are not so honorable as you and your husband were, Karen, you could never sell that or put it into a trust. And if you die having never sold it, it will pass to your kids.
Step up in basis.
So when we talk about somebody who claims to be this like crackerjack real estate investor, I don't know, somebody by the name of Donald Trump is just an example. He claims all kinds of depreciation because his buildings are extraordinarily expensive to build. Are these actual losses? It's not, are they?
Well, it depends. It depends because truly, property that buildings that sit on real estate that is not desirable will eventually crumble and will become worthless, or needs to be scraped and something else built there. Since I'm in California, and this is where I got my start, thank goodness, along the coast of California. San Diego now. I was in Los Angeles when I first started in college. I was still in college. So things appreciate here, but primarily for two reasons here. Highly desirable dirt and the cost of replacing the structures due to all kinds of things, cost of the building materials, the wages to pay, and also the permits that are required. So high desirability of property in a moderate climate is also mm-hmm. part of it. So we have a lot of influx. There's a lot of talk about people leaving California, but folks keep coming in.
Yeah, people are always going to want to live where it's 75 degrees most days all year round. That's mm-hmm. highly desirable. You're not going to lose value in real estate.
Yeah, it's the old, demand and supply,
Yes, ma'am.
It is the ultimate economic law. So, but for other areas that are quite stable, the Midwest, for instance, from my experience, does not have that need. You don't have that physical restraint that we have here. The ocean is only so big, and we have, 40 million people in California. More people than, I guess, the smallest, 30.
But Carrie, if I can just jump in, is the idea of depreciation, setting the differences in available land and the desirability, we know in the long term, most real estate increases in value. Is the depreciation an actual loss, or is it for all intents and purposes?
Generally speaking, I would say from my experience, it is certainly not a loss, and certainly doesn't come out of the income.
Yes.
But it is a creation. And it's an effort to compensate people whose property actually does depreciate. But if you're in the right market, it's a gift.
Yes. It's a tax gift from taxpayers mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. landowners. What makes you?
But you do. Go ahead. I was just going to say a real quick thing, but
please.
It will bite you in the end because you have to recapture it. But at a low rate. Go ahead.
No problem, folks. This is my very special guest for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Her name is Dr. Karen Seal Stewart. She's a retired business professor, real estate investor, and registered investment advisor. What made you and your husband, as millionaires, want to advocate for higher taxes for yourself?
Well, I was a working class kid. Literally, my mother was in the soup kitchens in the Great Depression. And my father was an itinerant worker during the Great Depression. Neither even went to high school. And my dad was a union man with Union Oil, wore a hard hat and a lunch pail. And my mother loved FDR and the New Deal and all the things that ushered in to give folks a safety net. And as I learned, I'm also a certified financial planner. And when I got into that training and learned the sections on taxes and experienced the benefits as we filed our own taxes, we said, this isn't really fair. Mm. This isn't fair. And add to that other kinds of income that, as long as you don't earn it,
yes,
are tax-free after the first, $45,000 a person, $90,000 a year, zero taxes on, as you know, long-term capital gains and qualified dividends. I said, this is absolutely not fair. A lot of people could live, anybody could live very well on a married couple, between that and the standard deduction, well over $100,000 a year, absolutely no federal income tax. But if you earn that, you're going to have to pay taxes.
Yeah, if it's a paycheck, we're going to pay taxes. Yep. If it's this imaginary investment income, we're not. We're going to come back with more with Dr. Karen Seal Stewart, a retired business professor, real estate investor, and registered investment advisor. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Today on Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money, I'm joined by my special guest, Dr. Karen Seal Stewart, a retired business professor, real estate investor, and registered investment advisor. She's also a CFP. By the way, Karen, my dad is also a CFP, so I know exactly what went into all of that. They are grueling licensure exams, to be sure.
Don't relive
that those times. Not fun. Before the break, we were talking about why you and your husband, coming from middle class beginnings, you invested your way into becoming wealthy and millionaires, and yet you both reached the same conclusion that the way our tax code is structured simply isn't fair to working people. I've always struggled with the idea that a dollar earned from work is taxed more heavily than a dollar earned from invested wealth, right? Like, it's still a dollar. They're both dollars. They've both been earned, and yet we tax the one that comes from actual labor much differently than we tax other dollars. Why do you think that tax breaks are available for investors like you and not for working people?
Well, he who has the gold makes the rules. You know, that's it. Follow the money. You know, that's the thing. Once people get power and how about lobbying? There's lobbying. There's some bribery in some parts of the world, which I can't imagine, but that does exist. And all sorts of ways that you can convince people that if we have like trickle-down economics was such a farce, to say that giving people, for instance, you know, somebody who has what do you even do with $100 million or a billion or $100 billion? I mean, it's just beyond comprehension to think that that money won't wind up in the Bahamas or in a yacht or in another island. That I you know, I'm going to have an archipelago after a while because I keep buying so many islands strung out there. I mean, it's just, it is, you know, it is pure greed, power. And sadly, I also taught women's studies. It seems to be a particular affliction of the males in our species. It's like a giant, you know, contest. So,
we'll leave the blank part of that contest unsaid, Karen. Yes.
but the thing is, there's, you know, I got more than you do. You know, it's because if your net worth rises by $50,000 a minute, what is, you know, nevertheless, it's...
Well, and it seems, if I can, Karen, it seems to me that over the last 50 years, and we had a guest on Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money last week, who pointed out that over the last 50 years, what we've done is effectively legalize corruption by declaring that corporations are people and money is speech. And if money is speech, people with the most money get to scream while the rest of us are barely speaking in a whisper. And if you get to scream and yell and you can buy the most amount of speech, it means you can decide who wins elections. And if you can decide who wins elections, because money is speech, you get to tell those elected officials what kind of tax policy there should be. And if we've decided that money is speech and rich people get to yell at politicians and pick them and then tell them what sort of policies we want to have, then rich people are going to tell the politicians that the policies they want to see are the policies that keep them in the driver's seat, that keep them in power, that preserves their wealth. And it creates this unending cycle of corruption.
Interestingly, it's sort of like King Midas turning everything into gold. And Thomas Piketty, the famous economist from France, kind of, as I recall, he had a comment that said, pretty soon with the folks who have the oligarchs of the world are going to own everything that can be owned. Mm. And Henry Ford was a wise guy way back, a wise person.
A jerk, but a smart businessman, yes.
He was a wise guy and he was a jerk. Anti-Semitic, all sorts of other things. Mm-hmm. However, he had the foresight to say, I cannot sell these vehicles if nobody has the money to buy them. Therefore, I'm going to overpay my workers so that they have the money to buy these Ford cars.
Yes.
So if folks get too greedy over time, there's nobody left to buy their stuff, and they've absorbed it all, they've eaten it all, et cetera. There's no place for people to live. We've got some of this going on right now. No place to live, hardly anything to eat, working for dirt wages, et cetera, cutting out the safety net, calling people who need help, welfare queens, et cetera. Okay, now what are you going to do? You've got it all the marbles, all the chips are in your side of the table, and you killed your economy, and you've killed your consumers. And good for you. You own it now. I guess Monopoly, the game's over.
Yeah, nobody's there to buy it.
Well, and what is this going to do to our community, to our world?
Yes.
And to our country. And it's working on it right now.
We're coming up on time, Karen. So I wanted to ask you one last question. What did the Trump tax cut do for you and your wealthy peers?
Oh, I was just trying to make first of all, those of us who are in states where there has been a lot of appreciation and housing is very costly, our property taxes almost always exceed $10,000 a year. But now we can only deduct on state and local taxes, SALT, S-A-L-T, we can only deduct $10,000 a year. Mm. And it used to be that people could have a very expensive home and maybe deduct $35,000 because they have so much tax, but it's down to 10. That was the only bad thing I can think of. So let's think of large estate breaks. Large estate, you can leave a lot more money to your heirs. We lowered the top rate from 39 to 37%. The amount that you can get in long term capital gains and qualified dividends is adjusted according to the CPI.
Just in summary, Karen, very briefly here, he made it easier for rich people to get even richer. Did he not? Yeah. And that's what he proposes to do again. Who are you voting for? Who are you voting for president, Karen?
Oh, Kamala in a hot second.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's my very special guest, Karen, Dr. Karen Seal Stewart, a registered investment advisor and a business professor. She's one of the Patriotic Millionaires. Thanks so much for spending some of your afternoon with us, Karen. I very much appreciate it. When we come back, I got Dom Salvia joining me for... In case you missed it, there are just a couple of things that happened this weekend. We'll talk about it next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
recently here in Wisconsin, we've had a bit of a blast from the past with the illness that is coming back. And that one is pertussis, also known as whooping cough. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and Tom Haupt, a DHS respiratory disease epidemiologist, explains why you should go out and get the vaccine for the whooping cough this year.
There is a major increase in the number of cases of pertussis or whooping cough, and that can affect not only children, is well known to affect children, but it can attack any person at any age. So again, that would be another vaccine that they may want to think about as well, because once it gets started, it spreads very, very quickly amongst people. And then obviously the workers are coming up and they're temporary workers. They don't want to miss any days.
Hubs says to make sure that you're continually washing your hands for the best chance to fight off this disease. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report, and your closing markets are coming up right after this.
At Wiffles Hybrids, we like to speak in metaphors. For example, when it's seed decision time and you're at that fork in the road and time is money, you might want to choose a partner that's a little more underdog, a little more David than Goliath. Because you deserve a family-owned company that marches to the beat of their own drum, whose product lineup and customer service is the whole enchilada, the whole ball of wax, the whole kit and caboodle. Wiffles Hybrids. Plant your independence.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those closing markets from Chicago. The grain markets had a bit of a rough day today, as December corn is down 4.5 at 410 3/4, and November soybeans are down 13 3/4 at 974. December wheat closed down 10 1/4 cents at 558 3/4, while July wheat closed down 8 cents at 597 3/4. The Class 3 milk contract split today, with November up 15 cents at 2019 100 weight, and December down 9 cents at 2013 100 weight. Barrels of cheese did not change from Friday, as it sits at 187. 40-pound blocks also did not change from Friday, sitting at 190. But butter ended up down too at 267.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man!
I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, President Biden apologizes for the atrocities of the Indian boarding schools. Also, why won't the LA Times or the Washington Post endorse this election cycle? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Monday. It's 3:30, and that means, in case you missed it, Dom and I are here to help you out. I'm joined by my good buddy, Dom Salvia. Welcome back, Dom. It's always good to have you.
Hey, Maggie. Thank you so much. A pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday, my friend. Folks, we're going to talk about the rally, of course.
The rally.
Cult meeting?
Is that what that was? A rally? It was strange. Madison Square Garden. Yes. Strange.
Very weird.
Dark. Very racist. Dark. Misogynist.
Homophobic.
Angry.
Xenophobic.
I mean, there's so many phobias.
Oh, should we do like an adjective off? Yeah. Hey, everybody, what are your favorite adjectives for whatever the heck that was yesterday?
What do you call that
What do
thing?
You call it? Let's, little name game here. The name for whatever happened yesterday at Madison Square Garden that Dom and I decide is the best, we'll send you some swag
there
or something.
You go.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But I don't want to start there because there were some weirder. Is it possible?
I don't think so. But okay, but you lead. You go.
I'm going to consider this a challenge, Dominic.
All right.
Can I actually weird you out?
I don't know. I'm pretty weird.
You are, but they're weirder.
Okay.
Let's try, shall we?
Yes.
Have you heard of a right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin? Oh my gosh, I'm just hearing this now. Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt that. Ballot drop box fires apparently having been set in Oregon and Washington State.
Yeah.
Now under, oh my God, that is horrible. What is wrong? Stay on script, Maggie.
Stay on target.
That is so wrong. That is literally robbing people of their votes. Horrifying. Okay. Have you heard of the right wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin?
No.
Well, today is your lucky day, my friend.
Baby. All right, good.
So this guy is all over the magosphere.
Okay.
Right? He is right in line with the J.D. Vances and the Curtis Yarvises and the whole Theo Bro movement. Okay? This speaks for itself. This is Joel Webbin giving a sermon. Okay? Let's just take a listen, because I would imagine Joel is probably talking about me here, Dominic.
Ooh,
shall we see what he has to say about me?
Let's hear it.
Let's roll. This is going
to
be cut number one.
Be more domineering. Be more assertive. Be more confident. Be more this. Be more. What it's saying is be loud. Be loud. But what God's word says is be quiet. You can live quietly. You can speak with a quiet way. This doesn't mean that women don't talk. There's a way of talking and asking questions and being a social butterfly, yet at the same time not having a loud spirit. But the last thing that I want to get to,
the seventh commandment, our text today,
is this: there's a way not only of living loudly, talking loudly, but also dressing loudly.
Oh,
loud dress, loud apparel. Like a golden ring in the snout of a pig, so too it is with a woman who is not modest. There's a way of dressing loudly, a way that Jezebel painted her face and said, look at me.
What?
Look at me. She is being loud.
First of all, Joel, Pastor Webbin, yeah, you, sir. I'm loud. I'm very loud. Sometimes I dress loud. Sometimes I dress quietly. Sometimes I whisper. But what the heck is wrong with you? And who are these people in these pews that are like, yeah, super. I'll just,
What does the Bible say about screaming, crying babies? They're kind of loud. Do you hear the baby in the background the whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, little baby Jesus was crying as that dude was talking.
Because it's such nonsense.
I guess I would interpret that folks like you, women like you, you're a pig,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a golden ring the nose.
When
of
I'm
a
loud,
pig.
I'm like the right. Whether yeah. I'm dressing loudly like Jezebel, or speaking loudly out of my place.
I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
Get in your place, woman.
You need to know your place. And according to this guy, and no, I haven't heard that, but this is familiar talk from some of those
familiar
kind of folks, that women need to be put in their place, and you're there to serve the man. It's the patriarchy, baby.
Yeah.
Welcome to it.
Shh.
Oh, I'm okay. Yeah.
Hey, no, that's me.
That's right.
You shush me. Yes.
Speak when spoken to. I mean, come on. But this does appeal to a certain amount of people, right? I guess.
Men.
And more men.
Men out there. This is not what masculinity is about. This is not it. This is not what being a man is about. In fact, it's what weak men say.
He's justifying this behavior, this bigotry, through the Bible.
This
is his interpretation. You must be quiet.
Quiet.
Yes, quiet.
Joel, I'm yelling because you didn't hear me the first time when I said I deserve the right to vote. Oh, wait a minute. On women's right to vote, Pastor Joel has some thoughts.
He does. Let's hear that.
Let's run cut two.
Be more domineering. Be more assertive. Be more
confident. I think this
and
is
just for the record, you know, yeah, I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed. I think that because, well, first and foremost, because I'm a Christian.
What?
You know, and that is the Christian position. Oh, my gosh, that you're saying that, yes, that is the Christian position, is that households should not be divided against one another. So it's not just elevating a male vote, but it's elevating the household vote. We're saying that that society, if you break it down to the basic building block, is not atomistic as individuals, but molecular, being households. That the way that God sees humanity is he breaks them down to families.
Oh, I'm so glad he knows the mind of God. I mean, what would I sit here and do otherwise? Oh, wait, what? If there's the divided house, then maybe the man should listen to the woman. I mean, you could do that, right?
If we go through the history of humankind, I'd say I'd probably the women bear out, maybe pun intended, to be the better, more reliable set of judgments than do man. I mean, just to make it clear, he says that the opposition to the 19th Amendment is Christian. Can we just hear that very front part of the cut again, lest anybody get confused?
And just for the record, you know, yeah, I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed. I think that because, well, first and foremost, because I'm a Christian.
And he rationalizes this, like, women, shut up, and stop voting, because a household shall not be divided against itself. Dear Pastor Joel, I don't think my opinion, just like yours, spoken loudly, I'm sorry, I don't think the Bible was talking about people voicing different political opinions. I don't think that's what they meant about a household divided against itself. Self-determination would seem to be a fundamental element of human dignity. And, I mean, behind all this and behind the yucks, Dom, what this guy's saying and what the MAGA cult says to women is you are not fully participatory human as men are. I mean, like, that's what it is.
That's absolutely what he's saying, and he's saying it proudly.
It gets worse.
Does it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes,
it
does.
Is it possible?
It's possible. Let's take cut three.
You perjure yourself by bearing false witness, accusing somebody else, whatever the penalty would have been for that person, had they been found guilty, then that penalty should fall on your head for falsely accusing them. So if you accuse in a court of law, falsely accuse someone of murder, and it turns out in the final analysis that that person is not guilty of murder, and neither are you, but you falsely accuse them of murder, and the penalty for murder should be capital punishment, life for life, then you, even though you have not committed murder, because you falsely accused someone else for murder and the penalty for that crime would have been death, you should be put to death. That's what the text is saying. And if that were to occur and the just penalties were to be enforced, you, the false accuser, is now put to death, and that's a public death. It's a public sentence, publicly carried out. Then the citizens of these United States of America, you know what they would do? Hashtag Me Too would end real fast. How do you False accusing? Playing the victim when you're actually not? Like, you know how to end that real fast? All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? What?
Yeah.
What? I mean, even...
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there. The accusation of sexual abuse by a woman against a man would not result in a death penalty.
No.
Right? I mean...
Oh, you know, should we ask Harvey Weinstein?
And aren't actually charges brought by...
A district attorney?
Or prosecutors.
Hmm. Interesting, isn't it?
And then aren't they, you know, and then it's determined by a jury of peers. We have a justice system in
this country. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just a question occurs to me. I wonder if this guy thinks that wives can't be raped by their husbands.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because, you know, a house divided and all that.
I mean, come on, honey. You know
and
what
then
I'm
if
saying?
A wife ever alleged that her husband raped her, you know, like Donald Trump's now deceased wife,
which of course couldn't happen,
and then recanted
in that marriage.
Yeah,
then
we've gone down a rabbit. This guy again,
literally says public execution of women. Let's not gloss that part over.
If they've falsely accused a man of rape, this is the natural law, the Old Testament-y wingnut of the Christian nationalist evangelical right.
You know, yeah. Where you shouldn't mix the wools and linens? That Old Testament?
Yeah. Oh, you know, usury.
No shellfish? Red lobster?
Just to recap, women, shh.
Shh.
No voting.
Don't be too loud.
And don't go accusing any men of rape because... Unless it can be absolutely proven, which query what Joel thinks that looks like, you're going to just be put to death. I wonder what that would... Why is he so opposed to Me Too? Like, shouldn't good men of God not be raping women?
I think...
But what we should do is make sure... Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Just a couple.
Hey,
a couple.
You know where I heard about stuff like this happening? Like, you know, under ISIS and the Taliban.
Oh, like Sharia law?
Yeah.
Canon law. That's totally better.
Well, it's because Joel said it.
Joel. And only a few women. I mean, we're not gonna murder all the women.
Just one or two of them.
Well, and preferably the really loud ones.
The really loud.
You know, the ones with makeup.
Hey, do I rate?
I was gonna get there. The really loud ones with the makeup and the bright shirts.
Yeah, and the bright shirts and the pins and the things. Uh-huh. You know, I had to accuse a man of attempted rape once and testify in trial and fly back to Denmark to do it, and he got convicted, but not sentenced. I don't know, Dom. How does it all sort out for a loud woman? Who's, you know, again, accused men of attempted sexual assault. Also recently been publicly groped by a guy. I got to go deal with that garbage. I mean, seriously, Joel. And this is the guy that the MAGAs and J.D. Vance, it's these the whole Theo bro
wing. So help me understand that. I mean, I hear these kinds of things. It's like, oh, it sounds like some crazy ass, you know, YouTube pastor guy.
Yeah.
Lots of those out there. And forgive me.
Oh, no. He's in the MAGA fold.
Oh, he is.
He's in the MAGA fold.
So he is like advising some of these folks? Or they
poster child.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
wow.
Big,
that says,
big
says a lot.
Surrogate. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just to be sure, women, stop dressing like hoes. And no more right to vote for you, because the man is the head of the host.
Repeal the 19th Amendment.
Repeal the, because that's what Christianity requires. Gee whiz. Hey, Pope Francis, remember when you said, you know, it's the lesser of two evils? What do you think about this guy? Does this sound like the lesser of two evils? And yeah, let's execute women publicly who accuse men of rape, but they can't totally prove it absolutely as adjudged by men. And I'm sure this will sort out
by
fine.
Joel. What's Joel's last name again?
Joel Webbin. W-E-B-B-O-N.
Joel Webbin.
Folks, it's in case you missed it, with Dom Salvia. He joins me every Monday at 3:30. We're going to talk more when we come back about whatever the heck the freaking rally was in Madison Square Garden last night with all of the MAGAs, Hulk Hogan et al. If you want to name the rally... Just text or call 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll give you the props on air for the best name, call out, adjective, what have you. If you make us laugh about it, you'll be in the running. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Monday's edition of In Case You Missed It with my little buddy and your friend, Dom Salvia. He's on after the Maggie Dawn show every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. But I'm always so glad to have him here with me and each and every one of you on Mondays at 3:30. Thanks so much, Dom. I'm glad I got to blow your mind.
I usually am up on it. I know the topics generally, you know, do a lot of reading throughout the weekend and the day. I had not heard that dude, and you kind of, I did miss it, and you did blow my mind.
You're welcome.
I'm not surprised, but, I mean, do they not get out much? Is there not much social interaction with these folks? If the places I go. And the people I talk to and things I do and see, that kind of talk would be very much frowned upon.
I want to get to the rally sound, and we're going to go through a bunch of it kind of like rapid fire because it's almost like it builds on its shockingness. Here's my question. Have these men, are they so ill-confident? Are they so afraid? Have they never... are there not enough amazing, awesome, strong women around? Like, what happened, dude? Like, what, you know, when I think of love and, like, what you would want in a partner, a long-term partnership, I want someone that stands with me on equal footing, mm-hmm. right? That I have an equal amount of respect, you know, that this is a respectful, reciprocal relationship, like, dude.
I mean, that sounds great, Maggie, but God told me not to. So shush. but thank you for your opinion.
Right. folks, if you want to name the rally, give us a call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Bill from Green Bay sharing a very interesting video with us. We're going to put it in the show notes. It's called the Bad Faith Documentary. Thanks, Bill from Green Bay. Michaela from West Bend saying that rally last night was the Klan Clown Convention. All with K's. Bravo, Michaela. You're winning so far. Kurt from Madison pointing out religion is the problem, not the solution. Listen, I'm not going to go so far as to say that. And Dom, I respect your atheism. We've talked about faith on this show a lot. I hate, frankly, the terrible rap that men and women of good faith that are Christians and evangelicals are getting from this kind of stuff.
And they, but they need to stand up to it then.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Billy Graham's granddaughter last week saying, this is an abomination. Yeah. My grandfather would be sickened by this. USSR recruitment rally from the 715. Mm-hmm. Ham from Appleton pointing out that Elon's hat last night, he's declared himself like Dark Brandon, Dark MAGA. He used the same font that the Nazis used to put out all their propaganda papers. Like, that's what Make America Great Again was written in. I did see that myself, Ham.
Oh, come on.
It looks like the Nazi font. Like, I didn't know there was a Nazi font. Elon did, and he used it for his MAGA hat. Go figure. Okay, let's take some sound. This is probably the most infamous soundbite from yesterday, so we'll start here, but I don't think it's actually the worst. This is deeply offensive, and they're freaked out about it because it may turn off Latino and Puerto Rican voters. But let's take a listen. This was a comedian opening up for Donald Trump last night at MSG.
A lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Oh, charming.
Okay, all right. Okay, we're getting there. Again, normally I don't follow the national anthem, everybody. A lot going on.
Maybe you shouldn't tell the joke. Same comedian, he also said this.
I welcome migrants to the United States of America with open arms. And by open arms, I mean like this.
And he's gesturing like, don't come.
It's wild. And these Latinos, they love making babies, too. Just know that.
Oh, jeez.
They do. They do.
Gets worse.
There's no pulling out. They don't do that. They come inside, just like they did to our country.
I mean, what?
Wow, he's even crashing and burning at the Nazi rally.
Yeah. These people were vetted. Guaranteed somebody read his bits and went, yep, go ahead, bro. You're good to go. Next up, this is some crazy dude. I couldn't even figure out who this is, but confirmed he is indeed was on the stage. Let's take a listen to this.
In fact, she is the devil, whoever screamed that out. She is the Antichrist.
Talking about Kamala. Yep, totally. This is all very normal, very above board. How about this one? This is a Jewish guy speaking at the rally yesterday. This is cut 22.
Listen to me from Jerusalem. They really do this. Like all of you, listen to me, all of you. I get back and they go, Sid, you want to speak at this MSG thing? I go, sure. Out of character for me to speak at a Nazi rally. I was just in Israel, but I took the gig.
Nazis as punchlines. Okay.
But acknowledging the fact that there was an actual Nazi rally at MSG in the 30s in this country.
1939.
Which is stunning to me, but at least creepy. Those on stage are giving it a little reference.
And then we got to listen to Dr. Phil. We're just going to skip to cut 24 because it's weird.
By the way, we didn't choose the name for that by random. Merritt Street Media. This country was built on hard work, added value, and talent. Not on equal outcome. Not on DEI.
Shut.
This country was built on hard work.
And slavery.
Oh, yeah.
And enslaving human beings and forcibly. Shut up, Dr. Phil.
Those slaves would work hard, though.
You're not. I mean, he's not even a real doctor.
Oh, come on.
We got to leave it there. I got so much
There's
sound.
There's so much more.
Thank you to the Maggie Dawn Show production team. We got Chris. We got Luke. It was a village today. Calvin, everybody helping out. Zommers in Madison. Folks, you got Dom Salvia with the Dom Salvia Show up next. Never a boring moment. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to leave it there. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
Election Day is just a week away, and Sandy Williams will be here Tuesday morning to discuss the striking difference between the two presidential candidates and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.